Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It hasn't gotten old yet. Still good. It's like the St. Louis Blues and Gloria. Still good. Still fun to even going back to the Washington Capitals and the great celebration from Alex Ovechkin. Gosh, doesn't it feel like some of these big events, these championships we celebrated, feel like forever and a day ago? And yet the month of March crawled, and I mean it went by at a snail's pace. It's odd what this coronavirus and this isolation is doing to my sense of time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good morning to you. It's a Thursday. We've made it nearly to the end of the week. Not quite yet, but almost. And I'm excited about a bunch of stuff. Excited about the fact that we are, in fact, getting more of your upset comments now on Twitter and Facebook. Not so excited about the fact that you can't seem to follow the rules. It was so much easier for you to do your Final Four zoo animals. Not so easy for you to do your Final Four upsets of all time in sports. But that's our category. So I keep seeing your tweets and your Facebook posts pop up, and I get really excited. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Not everybody can follow the rules. But on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And it's exciting just to still be on the air with you and to be hanging out and to recognize that we're getting another show checked off the list. That's what I tell people. One show at a time, one day at a time. If you need to break it down even farther, 1 hour at a time. There are moments over the past month where I feel like 1 hour is all I can handle at a time. And I don't know if it gets easier. I'm not really sure it does. I think we adjust because we're resilient as human beings. That's how we're created. We do have the ability to adapt even when change is really difficult for us. I heard Mike Vrabel of the Tennessee Titans say on Wednesday that he's struggling working from home. Yeah, I think a lot of us are. It's not easy, and it's out of your comfort zone, so to speak. At least the way I always look at the CBS Sports Radio studio is like my cocoon, and I can go in and I can set it up the way I want. I can control the temperature, and I've got the clock in front of me, and I know, you know, where the computer is, and I can look up and see the guys across the double pane glass, and you get in this comfort zone, and then everything gets thrown into flux. Now for NFL teams, it's different because everything is being done virtually and they don't have the same technology. They don't have the same connectivity that they do when they're all at the facilities together. Not to mention the inability to run players through physicals or to evaluate them and to do it all as a group in one of their war rooms. Everything has changed from the world of sports to wherever you are in whatever industry you are in. And yet I still believe that as a nation, as a human beings, but certainly as Americans, because this is what we do, we get through it. We're going to get through it. And as I said, to start the show, it does help me anyway to know that we're all in it together and that it's not me carrying the heavy load on my own. Sometimes it does feel heavy. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are some challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, on Facebook. Coming up this hour, a portion of my conversation with one of the great storytellers and funny man in the form of a play-by-play announcer that we've got, one of the best of his generation, Ian Eagle. Had a chance to catch up with him on Wednesday, and it was really good to talk to him. I think we both felt that way, just having a conversation for about 15 minutes and covered a variety of things, family and work and travel, and we laughed, and that was good. That was probably my favorite part of it. So we'll bring back a little bit of Ian Eagle for you to hear. In the meantime, you may have heard it with Brad Heller at the top of the hour, two more sporting events canceled. Now, both of these were scheduled to be held overseas in England. First of all, the Wimbledon Championship. This one is one that could have a great effect on the tennis industry. I spoke to a friend of mine who works in Indian Wells over the weekend, and she said pretty much the entire industry, all the tournaments up and down the line around the country and around the world, were waiting to see what Wimbledon would do. If Wimbledon would attempt to postpone and move its tournament to later in the year, the issue, of course, being not only the conditions and the sun on the grass and the condition of the grass, but the dew, believe it or not, it's not something I ever would have thought of, but the dew on the grass and how that hits it in the morning and how quickly they can get the grass dry. And it's harder during other times of the year when it's not summer and some blazing heat. But also you have an entire grass court circuit that is built around Wimbledon as preparation, similar to the French court. I'm sorry, the French court, the clay court circuit as they lead into the French Open. And there's so many tournaments that serve as preparation for the majors, the hard court season that starts after Wimbledon, and they get ready for the U.S. Open. But while the French Open has postponed to later in the year, the Wimbledon championships have been completely canceled. I mean, it is the marquee event, but they just didn't feel like they could put it in another place on the calendar, not to mention, again, the fact that there's all these other tournaments that are dependent upon Wimbledon and its place on the calendar, and it could very well set off an entire chain of events. And then where do you put it? Because the second half of the tennis calendar, if in fact they end up doing any of the, you know, the tournaments in June or July, which right now they've kind of canceled all the way through. I think it's mid-June right now. You're going to have a logjam. Tournaments rescheduling and pushing around and trying to find a new home for their tournament that maybe would have been in the first half of the year. And so, the scheduling decisions, the conundrums that leagues face, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, the NFL says no, not right now, but MLS, I mean, they all face the same types of dilemmas, and that's not unique to team sports. Think about tennis, think about also golf, when they continue to not only cancel, the Open Championship has now been canceled. That was supposed to take place at Royal St. George's in Sandwich, England. And there's a bit of a financial aspect to this. According to Golf Digest, they canceled rather than postponed because they can collect an insurance premium if they cancel by a specific date. So they've got it built into their insurance where they're not going to lose all of their money. But anyway, the Wimbledon championships were canceled, and then hours before the show started, we heard the news that the British Open, the Open Championship, is also going to be canceled in July, and that official announcement should come sometime today. But two more overseas events, but very high-profile sporting events, and those I know are ones that we always look forward to in the month of July, but they will have ripple effects because, again, it affects other events and travel and everything else on the two sports circuits. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. If you need some good news, I feel like there's some good news coming from the world of football. Even as we get set for the NFL draft, Tua Tagovailoa, 4.5 months after suffering a broken hip and another displaced fracture on his hip, he is, according to the man himself, Tua, he is 100%. He's healthy. He says, I will be able to play my rookie year, and I could perform at the level that I did my sophomore and junior seasons at Alabama. And this to me is a miracle. I mean, you may remember when he was laying on the field at Mississippi State in mid-November and in the hours to follow, once it became evident what his injury was, the talk was about whether or not he would ever play football again. Not to mention, how would this affect his quality of life moving forward, comparisons to Bo Jackson. Then, because he had the surgery and it was successful, then it became, well, it's going to be a really long road to recovery. It could wipe out his first year of the NFL if he chooses to depart Alabama. I remember speaking to contacts in Tuscaloosa. And they told me that a lot of the Alabama community thought that Tua was going to return, continue to rehab and recover, take the year to get back to 100% health, and not play football at Alabama, but stay there with his guys because he wasn't going to be able to play next year in the NFL anyway. Oh, well, hey, so he goes to the combine, and all of a sudden that's not accurate either. I mean, he declares for the draft. He goes to the combine. He says March 9th. That's the date. That's the date I'm looking for, March 9th, because I could get my complete medical clearance. And don't you know, that happened. And then we see videos of him throwing and moving around with what seems to be seamless effort. And now here we are. He does an interview on the 1st of April saying, I'm 100%. I'm ready to go. I'm going to be able to play my rookie year. This, I think, now we've seen it coming. It's good to get that declaration, even though he can't work out with teams right now. He can't go through their physical paces or their actual medical exams. But he says he's doing virtual meetings every day with teams, mostly football talk. So it sounds like the teams themselves are confident in what they've seen, what they've heard, Tua declaring himself ready to go. And now it's no longer a risk. Now, is there a chance that he could get re-injured? Of course, there's always the chance of that. But he's young. He's in world-class shape. He's had great care, access to the best facilities and resources. And he is, if you look at it, no longer this long-term, it makes sense, but I don't want to have to explain it. He's no longer this guy that the teams have to wait for. He's not a long-term project. You don't have to pick him, but still have a contingency plan for 2020 if you don't want to. I mean, you could. You could certainly bring him along slower, but you don't need to if he's completely healthy. So we'll see. We'll see whether or not he actually falls to the Dolphins at number 5, or whether it turns out that another team leapfrogs into that top 4 to try to get him. Maybe the Bengals pivot. Seems like Joe Burrow is the guy that a lot are targeting at that overall number 1 pick. But you never count your picks before they hatch. It's this great news. I think this is the type of news that can put a smile on the faces of sports fans, regardless of your rooting interest. And who doesn't need good news right now? All right, A-Law Radio, your Final Four upsets of all time in sports. That's the category this Final Four week. Also on our Facebook page. Now ahead, we've got more quarterback news. And then still to come, a portion of my conversation with Ian Eagle from CBS, from TNT, from the YES Network. And his story is unique. I mean, he was preparing to do an NBA game in an arena with no fans right before all of sports shut down. And then all of a sudden, that was called off. It was postponed and the NBA was suspended indefinitely, and he was across the country and had to get home. And yeah, really interesting. So if you missed the conversation, we'll bring back a portion of it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Have the off-season blues?
Blake Bortles delivers to his tight end.
Mariota drop. Fires downfield. It's caught to the 5, to the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
How about the Hail Mary from Winston?
He's to the 5. He's in for the touchdown.
What a play by Manning.
Rodgers.
In the end zone. It is caught for the win.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
On the heels of the Tua Tagovailoa declaration that he is 100% and will be able to play his rookie year. In fact, he says he could perform right now like he did his sophomore and junior seasons at Alabama if he was required to do so. And there's still months for him to continue to work back into playing shape. That's great news, right? So then what does that mean for the NFL draft, especially the first round where we look for the high-profile QBs? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We get closer to the draft now, 21 days away. In fact, 3 weeks, exactly 3 weeks from tonight, will be that primetime first round, all done virtually, connected with some of the top prospects, which could include Tua, maybe Joe Burrow, some of the other quarterbacks. I'm actually really interested to see how it's going to look on TV, but also it's live sports with real live implications. How many quarterbacks could go in that first round on that Thursday night? Daniel Jeremiah answering that question on the NFL Network.
Can I cheat and say 4.5? Can I say 4?
You may.
Andrew? I think we're going to see 4. I do think that Love and Herbert, they're going. I know Tua's going. I know Burrow's going. So I feel great that 4 are going to go. But I think a 5th could happen, and I would tell you exactly where it's going to happen. That's the 31st pick, and it's not going to be the 49ers making that pick. But the 49ers trying to collect some extra picks they don't have in those middle rounds, I could definitely see that being a trade-up spot for some of those teams in round 2. Want to get that extra year on the contract, come up to 31, and get your quarterback there.
All right, but who's that quarterback then? Who is it?
Well, to me, I look at a guy like Jalen Hurts. It would not shock me at all if Jalen Hurts were to be the 31st pick. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was Jacob Eason either. So I think those are the two most likely guys to sneak into the back of 1.
Daniel Jeremiah and company on the NFL Network, and I find that to be such an interesting twist, if that's how it works out, that Tua and Jalen Hurts could both end up going in the first round of this upcoming draft, despite the fact that their paths diverge to different schools, different conferences, but just the whole idea of where they started and how they played together for those couple years, and then boom, on to their different paths that could bring them back to the same place. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Now, we have lots of questions about veteran quarterbacks in the NFL, and there are still several teams that are in need of at least not a starting quarterback, but definitely quarterbacks to fill out their roster. Will the Patriots make another move? They informed Cody Kessler that he's being released. That happened on Wednesday. Now, he was the number 3 QB behind Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer last season, this season, but if you remember last year, he was kept on the roster when Brian Hoyer was released. Remember, so Stidham beat Hoyer out for that number 2 spot behind Tom Brady. The Patriots are not usually a team that carries 4 quarterbacks, so that it doesn't surprise me at all. What will they do with the NFL draft, or will they go with another veteran? They've got Hoyer, and he's got a lot of familiarity with that roster, but there are still some guys out there that could potentially compete for the starting job with Stidham. Oh, to be in the mind of Bill Belichick. Hello, this is Bill Belichick. If you haven't seen the video he recorded on Wednesday, you should definitely check it out. So Patriots in search of a quarterback, but it's not going to be Cody Kessler. Who do they fill out that roster with? Meanwhile, you've got other teams also making quarterback decisions. And I thought it was cool to finally hear from Frank Reich. So Reich being the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, and he was talking about Jacoby Brissett versus Philip Rivers, and these two quarterbacks that come from completely different places on the spectrum, not to mention their games are really different. What does this mean? Getting Rivers, what does it mean for his QB room?
I personally believe in Jacoby. Think as an organization, we think highly of him. He did a lot of great things last year, and we had some ups and downs as a team, and we all had our personal ups and downs. But this was a crazy, unique opportunity. Philip, you know, who I believe is a future Hall of Fame quarterback. And I think whatever he does here in the next year or two, whatever that bit is, will contribute to that career.
Year or two, still open-ended there with Frank Reich, the Indianapolis Colts. That's, of course, assuming that he's still around, but they seem happy with him there. And honestly, if you look at Phillip Rivers and his skill set, it's closer along the lines to what an Andrew Luck offered. Now, Rivers, not a mobile quarterback. Luck had more mobility and more athleticism. But in terms of what they could do with the football, throwing the football, Jacoby Brissett, not quite the right fit. And they wanted to make it fit. They tried. They gave him a deal, and he, you know, he did well, but Reich obviously looking for something different, and he speaks highly, raves of Phillip Rivers for obvious reasons. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of comfortability, Reich has that with Rivers. Well, Ron Rivera has that with Kyle Allen after the last year specifically when he got the time to start consistently in the place of Cam Newton in Carolina. But he was in the system for a couple of years, and so Kyle ends up getting traded from the Panthers. Matt Rhule ships him to his old coach, Ron Rivera, in Washington. And Allen says it actually caught him off guard.
Kind of random. You know, I didn't really expect to be traded. Just signed a contract in Carolina 2 weeks before. So, interesting experience. But just talking to the coaches, talking to Ron, and you know, I think the expectation is to come in and compete for the job. And, you know, I think that's an awesome opportunity.
They may have quarterbacks on their roster, but I'm not sure anybody's real confident in who the starter will be in the nation's capital. And Kyle Allen seems to have the opinion, the idea that he will compete with Dwayne Haskins for that starting job. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're slowly getting answers. We've gotten some of the major questions answered from the quarterbacks and the quarter carousel, that game of musical chairs. But man, as we get closer to the draft and then we see what teams do with the prospects, but also, moving forward, you know, teams that may draft a QB, but not yet be ready to start a rookie QB. You know, you wonder what the Chargers and Anthony Lynn are going to do. He seems like he's keeping his options open, though he's spoken highly of Tyrod Taylor. And then once the draft goes through, if we've had no news on Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, even Andy Dalton, who may now stay in Cincinnati, where does that leave those veterans? It's funny because we got some of the dominoes dropping really quickly, but now some of them are just, they're teetering there, and it seems apparent that their momentum is not going to carry them over, at least not anytime soon. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Coming up next, part of my conversation with play-by-play great, play-by-play extraordinaire. He's usually really busy this time of the year with college hoops, with the NBA, with college hoops, the NBA, the Nets, of course, being his team. But Ian Eagle has got a lot more time on his hands than he expected, as do many play-by-play announcers. But he's a real good sport, a lot of fun, tells a great story. And so we were pleased to have him on the show earlier. We're asking you your final four upsets of all time. And I do appreciate it when you put them actually 1, 2, 3, and 4. Some of you go much farther back than what I do. Some of you are just sending me one. No. You don't fill out a final four with one team. It doesn't work that way. You get it? It's the final four. It's the bracket. Michael on Facebook, the 1980 men's Olympic hockey team defeating the Soviet Union. Seems like that is the common number one. So that would be the top seed in your final four of sports upsets. And many people also adding the 1990 Buster Douglas knockout of Mike Tyson. Michael goes back to 1960, the World Series Pittsburgh Pirates defeating the New York Yankees. And then 1983, NCAA men's basketball, Jimmy V. This was Jimmy V. That famous footage of him racing around the court with his hair flying and his arms out as NC State defeats Houston. Let's see. Julian on Facebook, Arizona over the Yankees in the 2001 World Series. Man, what a finish that was. What a finish that was. I still remember where I was when I was watching that. Number two, the Red Sox versus the Yankees in the 04 ALCS. All right, I'm going to go to the jury. Dave, while I believe that was a really incredible comeback, would you call that an upset?
No, it was a fairly evenly matched series going into it. The Yankees were probably a slight favorite, but it's the comeback that's the story because they were down 3-0 to nothing. So
right.
it's not an upset.
Yeah, no, it's right. Agreed. Just like Falcons being up 28-3 and losing to the Patriots is not an upset. It's a rally of proportions by the Patriots, and it's historical for other reasons. But no. It's definitely not.
That's not an upset. Like, yeah, no, that's not an upset. The 1980 hockey game we're talking about was amateurs, had no business being on the same rink, you know, as the Soviet Union in that year.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Okay, so we've given you the boot, Julian. We only got through number one, and then your D says the 07 Giants over the Cowboys. I don't remember that game. Wait, does he mean Patriots? 07 Giants. Is he talking about the Super Bowl? Or D, maybe D is a girl. Is she talking about the Patriots? I'm not sure about that one either. 07 Warriors over the Mavericks. The 11 Mavericks over the Heat. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure I'd call that a huge upset either, but maybe I just remember things differently. And then Buster over Tyson. Let's see. Jerry, our friend Jerry says, oh, my gosh, Jerry, the 1950 World Cup, the U.S. won England nothing. That was such an upset that when news of the score reached Europe, they thought England's score was a typo and it should have been 10, not 0. But Dave, our friend Jerry Palm also ignores the rules. It's your final four of upsets, and he just gives us one with the story.
We've got to read the whole question. I feel like he stopped at just greatest sports upset and stopped reading and gave one answer.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many people on Facebook have just given us one. No, not greatest upset of all time. It says your final four. Where have I failed? Dave, what have I done wrong? Somehow I failed the audience.
I don't think you failed. I think people just need to learn how to count and read to the end of the sentence. Like, USA in 1980 should be number one. I just, and like you said, Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson. Tyson was 37-0 and was the best fighter in the world in 1990. Right.
Now, would you also put 16 UMBC over UVA? Because I would. Those would be three of my top four
That's
there.
That's actually my number three.
Ah.
And number four is something that no one has mentioned.
It
was in 2009. Tiger Woods going into the final round playing Y.E. Yang, who was a 37-year-old journeyman who was two strokes behind Tiger, who had never given up a lead going to the final round and was 47 of 50 when having at least a share of a lead going into a final round. And he lost by three strokes that day to Y.E. Yang, who probably most people have never heard of before.
And never spoke his name after that again. Yeah, agreed. That was a great one. So that's a good final four of sports upsets. Dave doing it right. Thank you, Dave. You make me feel like less of a failure in my communication skills.
No problem.
All right. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, the category tonight, it's your final four week, your final four of sports upsets, which means you need four of them. 855-212-4CBS. Straight ahead, Ian Eagle to entertain us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Man, what a run it was last year for the Cavaliers of Virginia, and what a tournament it was. And that's what we should be looking forward to, the Final Four this weekend. Unfortunately, we don't have March Madness this year. It's a different kind of madness. And instead, you got a lot of play-by-play announcers that are staying home like the rest of us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Brandon Gowden with the call from last year's would have been regional final on Westwood One. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We had a chance to catch up with Ian Eagle on Wednesday, and he normally juggles NBA with the Nets on Yes Network, as well as various NBA on TNT and college basketball responsibilities. And so for him, it's completely different. And we covered a bunch of other topics, including where he was when the NBA shut down, which is a really fascinating story. But I want to pick up the conversation where I was asking him about this idea that sports can provide some healing in 2020. And I wanted to know how that appealed to him as someone who works in the industry.
Yeah, I feel like it's absolutely true, but I don't want to trivialize at any point what's happening in the world. We do have to prioritize, and the first thing that we have to focus in on is flattening this curve and doing everything individually in our power And that's all we can ask of people to help the cause. Then, as maybe the numbers start to decrease and we can see light at the end of the tunnel, then we can start talking about dates and contingencies. Look, you know, there are a lot of smart people out there working at these sports leagues, and they understand the role that sports can play. But the headline right now has less to do with when they're coming back, if they're coming back, and more to do with how are we dealing with this. And maybe we can take that next step eventually to start talking about the return of things that we love and things that do provide joy to people. You know, I think there's been two schools of thought here, and never would I say that something is inconsequential, but sports have taken a back seat. But sure, it has been a reminder that it's a big part of our lives, and it provides a lot to a lot of people. Forget about on the business end and how much it affects commerce, but just day to day. You know, I think if you're a sports fan, you often set up your weekly schedule based on events, of knowing your favorite team's in action on a Tuesday night, and you think about that day and what you're going to do after work and how it factors into your day-to-day mood. And when it's taken away from you, there is a void. There's no doubt about it. Mm.
So people always ask me this, because I tell them October is my busiest month of the year, but the spring, March, and early April are my second busiest, you know, stretches of the year. If we're not in 2020, what does a typical week look like for you in March or maybe early April, Ian, when you are zipping all over the place?
Yeah, I've got to tell you, Amy, it's one of those stretches of time that I always look forward to, but I also know the challenge involved in it. And sure, I often say to myself, I'd like to write myself a letter every year and seal it and then open it up just as the NCAA tournament is about to begin. And all the letter would say is, it's all going to be okay. And it feels like that would actually be very, very appropriate right now with what's happening in the world, and a reminder that eventually it's all going to be okay. How it pertains to the NCAA tournament, preparing for that event is so different than anything else that I do. Everything else that's scheduled out, I know who the Nets are playing on a given night. I know that I'm working the Tennessee Titans Baltimore Ravens game. It's on the schedule. I can see it. I can prepare for it. I can chip away over the course of the days leading up to the event and feel like I've done everything in my power to prepare. The way the NCAA tournament is set up, you cannot speculate on who you're going to have and what city you're going to be in. You don't find out until Selection Sunday around 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night. You get a phone call. And I've looked at all the venues. I've looked at all the matchups. And in my own head, I've determined, oh, boy, Providence would be perfect for me because I've seen five of the eight teams, and I'll be prepared, and I'll get a head start. And then you'll get the phone call, and it's like it's slow motion. Ian, hey, you're going to Seattle. And oftentimes, it's happened in my 22 years of doing the tournament, I'll take the collar on a certain venue where I haven't seen the teams. I just didn't catch a break, and you're starting from scratch, and you're trying to deal with the avalanche of information and still prepare to tell these great stories of March and be the conduit between the stories that are being created over the course of the tournament and the fans at home that thirst for them. That, to me, is what really stands out about the big dance. It's the fact that there are athletes that you may have not heard of before the tournament,
right,
and they become household names by the end of the 3 weeks.
Mm. Ian Eagle with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. As my niece puts it, this is my older niece who just last spring graduated from the University of Virginia. Well, I guess the Hoos get to be champions for another year. It's like, yeah, Deanna, that's one way to think of it. You're right.
that's funny.
Yeah, she's cute. Kids have a, yeah, they have a different way of looking at things. So before I let you go, the NFL just added two more playoff teams, and we found out that CBS will be getting one of those playoff games in 2021, but so will Nickelodeon. So I'm wondering, Ian, if you had your choice, I know that you love CBS, but would you like to do a game on Nickelodeon and try to appeal to preteens with your NFL broadcasting?
Amy, as you may know, I'm very particular about my hair. It means a lot to me. And the idea of getting slimed during an NFL playoff game does not sound particularly enjoyable. But, hey, you know me. I'll take one for the team. If that's the way it's got to be, that's the way it's got to be.
So good. Well, it's great to hear your voice and to laugh. It actually makes this Wednesday so much better. So, Ian, be safe. I'm glad you're together with all of your family. Thank you so much for a few minutes on the show.
Amy, it's always great talking to you and just to everybody out there. Please stay safe and do your part. Be the best version of yourself that you can be during these times. And the next time you and I speak, hopefully we're talking about the actual games and the competition and the matchups and all the fun that we have in those conversations.
Good to hear from Ian and good to laugh with him and just a really intriguing stories he always tells. And he's really got his finger in a piece of every pie. And at the beginning of that conversation, we got his unique perspective on where he was when the NBA shut down. He was actually in an arena when the whole thing happened, getting ready to call a game with no fans. So I'd love for you to go back and listen to the earlier portion of that conversation. Also, he's part of the Nets crew or the Nets traveling party, and four of the Nets were initially diagnosed with COVID-19. Now all four of them are fine and they've all been cleared. But he had contact with Kevin Durant before Durant tested positive, and, you know, a couple of times doing an interview and a handshake. And he mentioned that it was pretty disconcerting when the news broke that it was Durant and three others on the Nets roster who had tested positive for the virus. And so his stories are, yeah, they're interesting and, at the same time as the kind of the scary element to it, the fact that we can laugh and that he can see the silver lining, I think that's encouraged me about not just Ian, but the other guests we've spoken to this week. If you missed my conversation with Hofstra men's basketball coach Joe Mihalik, that was also really good. He tried to encourage me to use Zoom, except he has a really bad joke about Zoom. So you're going to have to check it out on our podcast, afterhoursamylawrence.com. Okay, so you're sending me your final four upsets. Okay, so every night during the show, every morning during the show this week, we've done your final four category. We had breakfast foods. We did zoo animals. Very popular. I woke up Wednesday. There were a lot more zoo animals. I'd forgotten all about meerkats. Meerkats. It was fantastic to see so many of you. Didn't they have their own show on the Discovery Channel or Animal Planet or something like that? It was, they became very popular for a while. Red pandas, another one, flamingos got mentioned. There was even a parrot in there. So I enjoyed hearing all about the zoo animals. So we thought we would try a sports category, but this one has proved to be much more difficult than what Dave and I anticipated. Let's see. But on Twitter, Chuck says the 2007 Fiesta Bowl, Boise State over Oklahoma, the Statue of Liberty play. Oh my gosh, that was a great upset. He also mentions 1980, the Miracle on Ice with the U.S. Olympic hockey team, which was the semifinals, not actually the gold medal game. North Carolina State over Houston NCAA tournament. We've determined that was 83. And then the New York Giants over the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl. Also a very popular answer. Let's see. James, Miracle on Ice, the Miami Miracle. Oh, first time I've heard that. Now, it's interesting because upsets are defined a little differently when you're talking about pro sports. But the fact that Miami had their whole hook and ladder up the field, crazy play, the no time on the clock, and yet somehow they got that ball all the way up the field, that was pretty crazy to end the game. It was probably the highlight. And by highlight, I just mean the craziest highlight, the most notable highlight of the 2018 season. It was 18, right? Gosh, they all blend together. Douglas over Tyson, and then he says the 2001 Diamondbacks over the New York Yankees. Dave, Luis Gonzalez, was that the name?
That would be correct.
The name that forever lives in your own personal infamy?
Hate it. That moment is, it's right up there with the 04 Red Sox series. Very bad for me.
I can still see Luis Gonzalez leaping after that ball went over the head of the, was the second baseman or
yeah,
shortstop?
Yeah, it went kind of right up the middle. It was a loop, and it was all bad.
You know, it's just sports. But yes, those are the ones that stick with us. I like to tease Dave as his Yankees loyalty. They have have had more than enough a share of their amazing moments at the top of the world, so it's okay to tease him a little bit. Let's see. Rick on Facebook, the 83 Raiders over the Redskins. The Raiders were 14-point dogs. Number two, the Blue Jackets sweeping Tampa Bay. Now, that's an upset. It's four games, though. That's the only part that makes me nervous. Appalachian State over Michigan. And then number four, he said the wild card Giants over the 18-0 Patriots. So, yeah, that's another good one. That Super Bowl was probably one of the greatest of all time. So keep those coming. Your final four upsets.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.